Kamasya nendriya priti.
Kamasya
serious students seeking the absolute truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching the truth. In every sphere of life, therefore, the ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth. And that sort of engagement will make one happy, because he will be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. And what the absolute truth is explained as follows. Om Ajnana Chimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Vinitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamayam Sadati Sahadikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sabrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Yutam Samsajivam Sadvaitam Sabrajutam Tavishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Varam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopita Kanta Rata Kanta Namaste Tapta Kamsana Gauragi Rahe Vrindana Shri Krishna Kanta Sindhi Karamani Kripe Vajra Gopta Rubyasya Savitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vyasadito Ramata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Kamasya Nendriya Pritir Bhavo Jiveta Yavata Jivasya Tatka Jityasa Nartoya Jaya Kwanahi. As Srila Prabhupada points out, the whole world is working hard only for the object of satisfying the senses. Thereafter, self-satisfaction and being under the illusion that the body is the self, they're trying to satisfy the senses of the body. And in that way, they remain perpetually dissatisfied. In second canto, we read, Nidraya priyate naktam vyabhavayena chavavaya divacharte haya rajam kutumba varanena. This is the engagement of the materialists. At night, their engagement is to sleep. That means merged in ignorance, snoring. Or or having sex. This is their night program. Sleeping or sex. If they have no opportunity for sex, then they go to sleep. Or you can turn on the television and watch other people have sex. In this way, they waste their night. And and during the day, where is money? Simply working hard to get money. Or spending money
for the benefit of the family. They're working hard during the day to make money, and the family members are working hard to spend the money. In this way, the whole life is lost. The business of sleeping and having sex is common for the animals also. And working hard is also the business of the animals, as well as the human beings. And gratifying the senses in different ways. This is not the actual business of human life that one can do in the lower species of life. But Akayur Indriya Rama, Mokam Partisipivati. People who don't know the ultimate goal of life have no better engagement than this. Indriya Rama, trying to satisfy the senses. And Mokam Partisipivati. In this way, their whole life is wasted, frustrated. It becomes a life of bewilderment. Working hard. Man has to work. It's a duty to work. Work is worship. Work. Right? If work was worship, the ass would be a pujari. This is their whole business, to work hard. And then do something for gratification of the senses. Some sports, some amusement, some purchasing, buying, shopping, enjoying, oh, I have a new such and such. And they don't know anything higher than that. That's their misfortune. And not only is it empty, meaningless, but it becomes a source of suffering also. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkhayam yarantyavanta kantiya nateshu ramate vita. I was talking to yesterday with one of our devotees, Radhika Ramana. He's a professor. Assistant professor in a college in Kentucky. And he's a new man on the job. So I think this was his first year teaching. And he was saying that we were talking about the students and their life. And he mentioned that one girl, her grades, her performance went way down. And he said, are you having, is there some difficulty? Is there something I can help you with? And she said, well, I'm having issues and I'm having a hard time. He said, well, is it something with the way the work is presented? She said, no, you don't understand. I'm having these issues. And he went through that a couple of times. It was something I could, something about the work in which I could make him be here. Said, no, you don't understand. My boyfriend, the boy with whom I've had a permanent relationship for the last 6 months, he and I just broke up. And so, I'm having issues. So he mentioned that this is going on. The boy and girl know that they're not going to get married. They know they're not going to stay together. But willingly, they throw themselves into one of these relationships, knowing that in some time we're going to break up and go through all this pain and suffering and misery and tears and this and that, and then we're going to do it again. Uh, Mohan Parthasajit. This is their bewilderment. They think that this business in which they practically inflict punishment upon themselves knowingly is enjoyment. This is happiness in the mode of passion. Yat tad agre anna vishyendriya samyoga yat tad agre mrtokama parinama vishyendriya tatsukam rajasamsvanam. Happiness in the mode of passion means, in the beginning, it's just like nectar. And at the end, it's just like poison. They have their experience. Janiya shunya vishukvaya. They know that it's poisonous. But they're drinking it anyway. Voluntary suffering. And we're saying that it's something like, you know, they want to, you know, like explore relationships. They don't know, you know, then they say something like, you know, there's something to exploring a relationship when you don't know how it's going to come out. And so something like putting your hand down a rattlesnake hole, not knowing what's going to happen, just for the excitement of it. This is described as madness. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's that people are mad. Pramatta. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. They'll do the most vile things. We were discussing yesterday. They'll do the most vile things for which one can expect the most horrendous, simple reactions. But one will do it. Yanindriya prithyara apunyoti. Simply to satisfy the senses. So this is called mind. The yanmaitanadi grihamedi supramitucham. Particularly, people are working hard for sex life. Grihamedi sukha, this is described as, this is the joy of the materialistic householders. Maitunadi means beginning from sex. They have some sex, and from sex there's some pleasure, about 38 seconds worth. And from time to time, if things go wrong, there are children. And then they take pleasure in the children and the home and the furniture and the curtains and the this and that, money. Yan maitanadi griha medi sukhami tuchcha means paltry. And Bhagavad Gita said, this is paltry happiness, insignificant happiness. Kanduya nena kariyori vaduka dukha. It's like the rubbing of two hands to scratch an itch. There's some itching, so we scratch it, and because we're scratching it, it will now itch more. And so we scratch more, and it itches more, and we scratch more, and it itches more. This is the path of the materialistic persons. Tripyanti neha, they're never satisfied. Tripyanti neha, kripana. Kripana means persons who are misers. If a person has something valuable and doesn't use it, he just holds on to it. He's a miser. So persons who have the valuable human form of life and don't use it for the purpose of human life are described as misers. They just multiply their miseries. Work hard and become more miserable. Get into a sexual relationship and become more miserable. Do this and become more miserable. Do that and become more miserable. yet so many even pursue impersonal liberation and become more miserable. So many austerities. And at the end, you don't get anything, or if you actually get something, all you get to do is obliterate your identity and then fall down again. So this, because the goal is self-satisfaction without Krishna. And that's not possible. Because the living being is part and parcel of Krishna. When he tries to be independently happy, he suffers. We were at an airport one time with Srila Prabhupada, and some little child was there, one of the children of the devotees. And he began, like, exploring, you know? Little kids, still in diapers, began exploring. And Prabhupada was watching. He said, oh, he's very brave. And then within a few minutes more, he walked a few steps more, and there were all these big people, and he didn't see his mother, and his face began to crumple up, and he began to cry. So this is our position, that we want to be independent, but the result is that we become miserable. So life is not meant for that. Kamasya na indriya priti. It should not be wasted for trying to satisfy the senses. Not even satisfying them, but trying to satisfy the senses. Something is needed for satisfying the material demands of the senses. But that should be the minimum, not the maximum. Lavo jivete yava. That's more, as much as we need to keep going. That's all. Prabhupada said sense gratification is like salt. Too much salt and you can't eat. Too little salt and you can't eat. So these things should be regulated, and the Vedic literature tells us how to do that in such a way as to minimize our entanglement in sense gratification, and therefore thereby minimize our suffering also. Jiva sita jigyasa. The human life should be used for self-realization. Narto yasche akarnati, not for anything else. That's the conclusion. And maybe we'll stop here and see what kind of questions there might be.
Thank you, Maharaj. Sometimes in the past I've thought myself and other people also say, well, so there's so much suffering involved in material enjoyment. But I'm, you know, I know that and I'm okay with that. I'm going to accept that as part of the bargain.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. That I know that there's, in sense gratification, there's suffering, but that's okay. I'm all right with that. I'll take the good with the bad. Makes a lot of sense. Just like if you have a little glass of sweet rice, little glass of kheer, and you know that somebody's taken, maybe just a teaspoon of sand and mix it in. It's okay, I'm all right with that. I'll take the good with the bad. Does that make a whole lot of sense? But that's their philosophy. Even they say, well, there's no happiness without suffering. And for them, that's true. Because they choose the kind of happiness which is always mixed with suffering. But for a Krishna conscious person, there's no suffering. There's no suffering in this path that I have to chant Hare Krishna and it's so terrible. I take the sadhana and it's so terrible. I have to dance. His happiness is on the transcendental platform. Ramasokyam Chananta. He only has to tolerate the little material misery that's inevitable because he has this body. But he doesn't get deeper into it and try and suck some enjoyment out of it. He looks for happiness on the spiritual platform of devotional service. Therefore, therefore his happiness is unlimited.
I think my problem is that I think too much in the short term and I don't think about the long term.
That's everybody's problem.
How
we all think too much in the long, short term and not enough in the long term.
How can we refocus?
You do it in every other department. Refocus. You know, everybody would rather play soccer than do homework. Everybody would rather enjoy now. But in every other department of life, we put off enjoyment for the sake of some bigger goal. If, even if you're into sports, what do? You practice and you give up other things so that you can get good at your game, whatever your game is. If you're into studies, then you put off other things because you have to study, you really want to study because you want to become an engineer or a doctor or this or that. You know that down the line there's some reward and it's worth sacrificing now for the sake of that. So in every other department of activity, we're willing to sacrifice, we're willing to undergo some austerity. But for self-realization, which is the most important thing, no. I'm too busy, I've got to do this, I want to do that. Stupid, no? So it's just, it's the same skill we already all have and we already all use of prioritizing things and saying, this one's more important, this one's less important. So I'm going to do this first and the other things second, or I'm going to give more importance to this, less importance to that. Don't we all do that? So it's just a question of understanding what's the most important thing. Is the most important thing gratifying our senses, or is the most important thing getting out of this material world? Maya says, most important thing is gratifying yourself. And Krishna says, no.
Or even if they accept it, they're not really willing to do so much about it.
Yeah, because they're sick. They don't. When you talk to people about it, they don't do it because they refuse. They don't accept it, or they accept it, but they say yeah, but they go on and do it because they're diseased. It's like alcoholics. You know, you logically convince them that alcohol is not good for them, and then they go around the corner and buy a pint of whatever it is. Even if they agree that it's not good, they still go out and do it because they've contracted that addiction to alcohol. So the materialistic person or the conditioned soul is addicted to sense gratification. So that addiction has to be cured by transcendental sound. That's the powerful thing. Simply by logical arguments, one can only go so far. There has to be something more powerful to purify the bewildered mentality of the living being. Well, that's this transcendental sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, the transcendental sound of Hare Krishna, transcendental association of devotees, these things.
Sure, but even to bring someone to that level of acceptance that they should at least try the process, that's a logical argument. But most people don't even accept that one.
Yeah, people don't accept logical arguments, so somehow or other you have to get them in. You know, some kid's got a drug problem and you try and logically talk to him, but you say, okay, listen, you know, your friend is in the program, why don't you go there and be with your friend? Or you say something or other. Anyway, get in the program. So it's not just by logic, but it's by transcendental association. We don't wait for people to tell us whether they accept our logical argument that chanting Hare Krishna is beneficial. We go out and chant it. And if they have ears, too bad, they have to hear it. We go out and put books in their hands and somehow or other tell them that they should get this book because it would help them or it would help us or for some reason or other.
any reason, thank you. No, any reason doesn't mean that we lie. It means that, you know, you're such a nice person. Why don't you take this book? That's a good reason for taking this book. You're a nice person. As so many nice people are taking this book. You're also a nice person. You should take this book. Huh? That's not exactly a logical argument, but people, that's why people buy things, because the salesperson said he was a nice guy. So, or we ask them to come to the temple because we're having a special festival, or because this reason or that reason, or whatever. So in this way, we try to induce them to come within the environment where Krishna consciousness prevails. Now they're in the environment where Maya prevails. But if they come to this other environment, then Krishna consciousness will gradually start to clear up, or will start to appear from within themselves, clearing up the junk that's clogged the heart.
Maharaj, many times we come across a situation whereby it seems logical, it seems Krishna consciousness seems logical, we try out, but like, unlike many other things in the material world, the impact isn't, you already addressed this in terms of short term and long term, but the impact or the effect is not so immediate.
Like so many other things in the material world. There are things that have immediate effect. Things that have immediate effect often have immediate, you know, effect and burnout. You know, you've got an immediate rush and then an immediate crash. You've got some, you know, got to spend and have a great time, and then you've got an empty pocket. So, but long-term steady investments pay off. We have that experience, you know, you put your money in some solid investment, and then, you know, down the line, the money is there. Or you have some disease, and you take penicillin, and it's not like you take your pill, and they say, thank you so much, now. So, you know, it takes some weeks, and then you go through things clear as time. But we all do that. Or, you know, a girl wants to get pregnant. It's not that, you know, one day later, where's my kid? Well, if it takes 9 months, forget it. Yeah, nobody says that. So college. You know, why does it have to take 3 or 4 years? Why can't I finish it in a week? You know, why don't you spend so much? Well, because you want something of value, then you may have to invest some time and you have to be patient.
What happens if you want something immediate as well?
Well, be an idiot.
Is it okay to have a spread, like short?
Yeah, hedge your bets. I want some immediate gratification, and I want the ultimate happiness. So I'll do a little of, you know, I'll have a diversified portfolio. The trouble is that this sort of diversified portfolio doesn't work very well. It's like the doctor says, take penicillin and don't eat such and such thing. Or take penicillin but don't take this along with it because it, you know, they interact badly. But you want to have a diversified portfolio, so you say, well, I'll take the penicillin, but I won't stop eating this. Or I'll take the penicillin, but I won't stop taking this other thing, even though it's, you know. Or somebody says, you know, horse racing is just a loss of money. You put your money in an, you know, interest-earning account or in, you know, solid investment. You say, well, let me do both. You know, I'll bet my money on the horses and I'll invest on this. So you lose all your money on the horses and you have nothing to invest. There's so many examples that could be given. So apart from that, your investment and short-term sense enjoyment is a foolish investment. You know, if you have some good short-term investments and some good long-term investments, okay. But that sense gratification investment means a lot of energy and a lot of, you know, a little bit of happiness and a lot of
trouble. Or just a letdown. And listen to all the popular songs, you know, My Baby Left Me, and I'm So Blue, and I'm like that. Right? They haven't changed, I'm sure, in the past 4 years. They're still singing about how my heart aches and it's broken and it'll never be put together again. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. So what kind of investment is that? All right, you want sense gratification. Actually, the Vedic literature gives the direction. All right, we know you have an interest in going back to Godhead, but you also have an interest in female companionship. Sex. Okay, we know that you have it. One is just a short-term interest. You know, it's not an eternal relationship, although pretty people try to imagine that, you know, for lifetimes and lifetimes and forever. And, but, you know, it's a few years and or a few minutes or whatever it is. But I want it, and I can't live without it, and, you know, the other thing is just theoretical. All right, Vedic literature says have it, but then there's some way to minimize your loss. What is that? Don't go swinging from one to another like a monkey going from tree to tree. Get married. Live with one. Take responsibility. Be done with it after some time. Get out. And come to Vrindavan. And go back to Godhead. That's the plan. Stage one, do without it. Stage two, have it. Stage three, start to forget about it. Stage four, forget about environment. That's the Brahmacharya Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyasa. So there's some commitment there. There's some limitations. There's not any girl that we see, any man that we see, but one man, one woman. And that also for the purpose of having children, not that my wife is a sense gratification machine. Okay. Just cooperate for the service of Krishna and be done. Then you get your short-term something, whatever is there, you get the least grief. Some grief is going to be there, more than you think. But in this arrangement, it's reduced to the minimum. And you don't just lose it. And the materialists who are just diving after sense gratification lose any higher purpose. But this way, you get both. You get some sense gratification, and you go back to God. Yes.
Maharaj, when Prabhupada first came to the Western world, he was calling materialists rascals.
Mm.
So being an early disciple and the first, you know, kind of bunch to hear him call you a rascal, how did the materialist react to being called a rascal?
Well, he wasn't calling me a rascal, he was calling all the people around me rascals. Which, of course, is very enlightening. Then by the time you realize it's you, also, it's too late. Yeah.
Sometimes someone's practicing spiritual life and they're not feeling the, you know, full happiness, and then we tell them, maybe you have to practice in a different way, or in the future, once you practice properly, you'll get. So then someone may also say that I'm practicing material life, and when I get the combination just right, when I practice material life properly, then I also get the full happiness there. So what would you say to that? Because the spiritual person says, you know, we say to the spiritual person, look, you're getting some happiness now, you're getting a taste that shows that there's something there, and if you do it properly, then in the future you'll get full.
Yeah, so they're both post-dated checks. We're saying there's happiness in the future, and they're saying there's happiness in the future.
But apart from that, we say that there's happiness now. You chant, you don't become happy. You take prasadam, you don't become happy. Even now, there's happiness. Chant and dance, you'll very quickly become happy. But you want some real, it's the same thing, that you want more. But if you stick to this process, you'll get more. And stick to their process, you know, just figure it out. Look at history. Everybody, they do something for happiness. They get what it is. Either they don't get what it is that they wanted. They never get the combination quite right. And therefore, they can never open the door because the combination never works. Or they open it, and once they open it, it wasn't what they thought it was. Or it was what they thought it was, or it seemed to be what they thought it was, and then they lose it. And then they're miserable. And just look at the world. I mean, okay, in your own case, it looks like you're just about to make it. But down in the world, everybody is just about to make it, just about to make it, just about to make it. Or they've made it, and what is it? Or they've made it, and they've lost it. There's nobody who gets it, and it's just what they want, and they can keep it. You know, you always wanted to marry this beautiful, gorgeous, fantastic, ultra deluxe. And then you marry her, and best case, she grows old and falls apart. That's best case. You know, worst case, you already know. But best case, you know, you marry her and you know, your dreams and this and that, you know, and at 70, you know, what have you got? What sense gratification? You know, that's where you've invested for sense gratification, for happiness. You know, it's this beautiful woman and blah, 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 blah. And that's your source of happiness. But at 70, your equipment doesn't work anymore. She looks like hell. All right, we're out of time.
Hi, Krishna, everyone. Prashant, thank you very much, Maharaj. Prashant's going to be served in the tent. So if we could please make our way there 8 ASAP, because we've only got about half an hour before the coaches arrive, we're going to take Prashant and get changed. So if everyone could make the way to the tent ASAP. Thank
you. Right. I was going to have you for half an hour.